Okay, on three, we'll do five. Okay. You ready? Five.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One. That sucks.
This is Infants on Thrones. Philosophies of men mingled with humans. We are the Corp.
That's right, folks. It's another Mormon-themed podcast.
Really? Mormon-themed?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the beginning, we really thought that we'd be able to get away from this Mormon thing, at least a little bit. You know, like we could branch out and cover different topics and different interests as we all sort of expanded beyond our Mormon roots.
Line upon line, precept on precept.
And maybe we have a little, but, you know, let's face it. This is where our inspiration really comes from. This is where we've all lived our lives and gained most of our experience. So, you know, this is what we talk about. We are the Reluctantly Mormon podcast, I guess. So, Infants on Thrones has been around for a little over a year now. And to commemorate our first anniversary, we thought that we might, you know, isn't that a little presumptuous, first anniversary, as if there might be more, who knows. But to commemorate this event, we thought that we might take some time to do a little meta navel gazing and just talk about our experience with it so far. And for the first time, and who knows how long, we actually have a complete quorum. We have Jesse Smith.
Part two of our six-part series is still in production.
Randy Snyder.
I love you guys. Love you.
Tom Perry.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Golden Corral at 4:30.
Matt Long.
Yeah, we couldn't describe movies as being a hangar abortion.
And Bob Caswell. Or is it Coswell?
Make checks payable to Bob Caswell.
And I'm Glenn Ostlund. And today, you're just going to be listening to us talk. Okay, so we've been doing this for a year now.
Has it really been a year?
Yeah, and actually the promo that we did was June last year.
Yeah, I was going to say the first time 12. We did it was in June.
Yeah.
Man, time flies when you're not releasing episodes consistently.
How many episodes do we have? What, like the number? I know we don't go with numbers, but how many do we have?
I think it's 20. But that includes...
Dude, that's more than once a month. That's pretty good.
So we did a survey a couple months ago, and how many respondents did we have, Tom?
We had 61 that replied. So, yeah, we have 61 respondents.
Just remember, the weakness of this study is that this is a self-selection bias working here.
Yeah,
yeah, well, hot okay. Off the presses of No Shit Monthly.
Well, not a lot of people understand the self-selection bias that happens in many studies of this nature. Basically, what I'm saying is the high amount of approval we had is because people that don't like us won't give a shit enough to fill out a survey. So that's basically what my point was.
Well, that just means that we at least garner enough apathy to not get people to want to vote against us, which I'm saying is a good thing. Suck it.
Matt, are you forgetting that we won the Brody for 2012?
All right.
Okay. We're like the champions of this whole genre.
Genre of one?
There were like four other people up for
it. Yeah.
But that was just like new thing to hit the internet, you know, the like new Mormon thing to hit the internet.
What was that? What the topic was? Was
no, new? It was best new podcast or website. So we pretty much beat everyone else on the internet combined.
Now I forgot. Are you only supposed to vote 5 or 10 times per person for that, or is it once?
And how many of these 61 responses were you and your wife?
About 23. No, yeah. No, none actually.
Bob, can you give a summary of like what do we think our average listenership is?
Well, you know, we started strong and kind of peaked at around 3,000 unique listeners or downloads per episode. But nowadays, we're closer to half that.
I say it correlates pretty well with the increased infrequency of our releases.
Yeah, absolutely, because I can make this sound like a business meeting. In Q4 2012, when we were releasing fairly regularly, like every other week or every week even, that's when, and toward the beginning, we were a lot more consistent. And then I think we dropped off for the holidays a bit, and then the doldrums of those winter months that you don't have holidays to celebrate, and we were doing other things. I don't know what happened. That's when we tanked, and then we haven't really recovered since then. So on that note, what do people think, Tom?
Yeah, so we put out our survey after we start to tank, like Bob said. The first question we asked was, what was your gender? 39 male, 22 female. What was your age? The highest number was in the 30s.
Which, 40s, is it, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's about the same age as every member of the quorum, 30 to 39.
To 41.
Yeah.
I forgot about Grandpa Glenn over there. Right.
I think I was still 29 when the survey came out, so.
you went over the limit there? Okay. And then the next question was, what is your connection to the Mormon Church?
So I was kind of surprised by that one. So that's 13% of our listeners are active Mormon, always attend their ward. I would assume that's in mm-hmm. terms of their attending, but maybe not traditional believers, but
you're assuming. What if they're just full on TBMs?
Could be, but I was surprised that it was 74% was I never attend my ward. That was higher than I expected.
Really? Why do you say that?
I would think that a lot of the never attend people are probably they've probably just moved on from Mormonism.
Well, I think that's more reflected in the overall number of listeners, because if you were to compare that to Mormon stories where there's people kind of in a stasis field of trying to figure out how to make it work, it seems like there's way more people interested in podcasts in that group. And in our group, it's a lower amount, but there's still enough out there that they're interested, but they're not really participating anymore. So I figured that's the demographic that we target. Like, from day one, we were editing out at first, you know, all of the fucks and shits and everything.
Yeah, I don't know. My mute button's all f***ed up.
Oh. There it is.
You get one of those once an episode. You get one f***, two f***, and one big word.
And it was pretty clear that we weren't, you know, doing anything quote-unquote safe or whatever word you want to use.
Yeah, we couldn't describe movies as being a hanger abortion.
Well, that's right. Oh, those were the
bring that up.
Oh, that was quite the ordeal.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go on to the next one?
Well, I think I cut you off when you're giving the breakdown of the age. It was 18% in their 20s, 54% in their 30s, 15% in their 40s, and we actually had a surprising 13% over age 50. So shout out to our AARP listeners. I love you guys. Love you.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Golden Corral at 4:30.
Oh, wait, just shit on my fucking shout out.
13% is going to drop now.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Hey, you're welcome. All right. The next one was, how did you hear about us or find out about us? 21% said a friend told me. 3% did Google search. 61% Facebook. So Google is letting us down, but good old Facebook.
So right. Now that we have some Wikipedia entries, thanks to Tom, then hey, we'll welcome. Be getting a lot more listeners through Wikipedia.
Maybe. Yes. I mean, I would imagine that most of the people who listen to this listened to Mormon Expression and, you know, Mormon Expositor and, you know, kind of that crowd that we were already tapped into a bit. So I think that's why we see a large percentage coming from Facebook, because we were Facebook friends with these people. Like, how many Facebook friends do you have that you've never met? You don't really know.
It's just, that changed big time for me when I got into this whole thing. It used to be that I had in my head, like, I would only friend people on Facebook if I had at least met them once in life. And I would use, like, Twitter and all the other bullshit social networks for everyone I don't really know. But nowadays, even Facebook, my new exception is like, oh, if you're Mormon, ex-Mormon type, and you want to be my friend, okay, sure.
I did the opposite, actually, in the last year. I did a little bit of a purge, just, you know, not anything personal to anybody. I just, you know, kind of went through, and if I didn't really know them, didn't need people having access to all my pictures of my kids and, you know, things like that. But
does it just me, or does Glenn sound like an Eeyore? I mean, wow. It's
Yeah, I'm tired.
Wet blanket over there.
Man. I am. I'm tired.
Jeez. All right. Next question. How would you rate your overall satisfaction with Infants on Thrones?
Oh, 46? I don't know. It's not. Oh, you weren't talking to me.
I don't know. I'm just going to go sit in the corner. 46% said excellent. 44% said enjoyable. 10% satisfactory. And we had zero in below average or very poor. So
remember, self-selection bias.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure people think we suck somewhere.
I'm supposed to say that, yeah.
Okay, Randy, you can be the Eeyore in this one. Good job. All right. What did you enjoy the most about the podcast? 3% said the topics. 7% said panel discussions. 2% said educational value. 23% the entertainment value. 10% said the editing. 51% said all the above. And 5% said other.
That told What's us other? Absolutely nothing.
Well, the editing, I think, you know, from the beginning, we kind of set out to do some unique things in terms of the editing style, but there was actually...
By unique, you mean we stole a concept we liked.
Yes.
Radio exactly. Lab.
Meaning
Radio
not Lab. Unique.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radio Lab.
Radio Lab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yeah.
And NPR.
Not unique, but something a little bit different than what had been done in other Mormon podcasts. But I think in the the qualitative answers that we got from people, we got a lot of people who said that they didn't like so much editing, or they didn't like sound effects or other things like that because it kind of threw them off. So I'm still not really sure what we do with that.
Well, the thing was, and this was consistent through the comments, the things that were most liked were the things that were most hated.
That's true.
And that's true. So one of the most prevalent comments was, I love the editing style. I love throwing in all the different clips. And one of the things that was most hated was, I hate all the stuff you throw in. It throws me off.
But I think the hated part are more like the bells and whistles and, you know, not that we do
random police sirens we throw in.
The yeah. laser sound about pew pew.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's been cut down, actually. I mean, I think you know, as the one who does the bulk of the editing on these things, I'm not as ambitious as I was, like, with the apostasy one, you know, when we were first into it. That one took forever to edit. And I was going for more of a Radio Lab type format, where they do a lot of things where they'll have conversations and then somebody will cut over the top of it. And then, you know, like one person saying one word, another person saying another word. It's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it just takes so much time.
Yeah.
And to make it sound good.
That's their job. They're professionals. They're paid.
Yeah. But I think the editing has kind of evolved. It's a little simpler, but still following that same concept of let's craft a story out of this raw material that we have. You know, I mean, in the past, what we would do when we were doing Mormon Expression, it was just recording a conversation. There might be a little bit of editing, and then we put it out. And I think what's happened now, I've become more comfortable, you know, telling a story, giving a little bit of an introduction, and then using the panel discussion to fill that in. Anyway.
Yeah, dude. So kind of the comparison to that, I actually broke down and downloaded some Mormon stories episodes. The one with that Mattson dude.
Oh, the Swedish one? Yeah, I listened to that one too, yeah.
Holy hell, the first 3.5 hours were just mind-numbingly...
Yeah,
I couldn't. Yeah, so I just completely ended up fast forwarding through 3 full sections and never got to anything of substance. So, yeah, come on, John, you guys edit.
Ouch! Yeah. Mormon story slam.
Yeah. Well, I listen to that stuff, and I think the exact same thing. But I mean, we do this ourselves, where, you know, what was the last one that we did? The Manacled Mormon and Sex Change. The original edit of that, even as an edit, was like 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Right.
And I put that up in the Dropbox for you guys to listen to. And then I went for a drive with my wife and we listened to it. And we got like 20 minutes into it. And they're like, oh my gosh, this sucks. This is just, you know, we need to trim this thing down. So I cut about 40 minutes off of that. So
yeah, but it's way better.
I mean,
the 1 hour version compared to the 2 hour version is, it's night and day. So
yeah.
It's hard to get that, you know, to have the episodes be long. It's hard to put out 5 hours of content and have it be that tight, but I'd rather put out one good hour than yeah. two boring hours any day.
It takes a lot of mental energy to go through. And there's also, there's a connection to the things that we say in moment, you know, like there's things that we said that got edited out that I thought were really good, but they were just redundant, you know?
Yeah.
Because we'll make points that other of us have made earlier, and we might do it in a little different way. But, you know, so it's taking those things out and then trying to keep it balanced. So I don't want people going, oh, yeah, Glenn's keeping his stuff in, but, you know, lopping my stuff off, too. You know?
Well, there was that one moment when you couldn't articulate your point live, so you then edited in your point after.
Oh, I love doing that.
Asshole.
That's the benefit of being the editor.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the benefit of understanding how to use GarageBand.
Look, Andy, could you imagine how articulate you could actually be if you started editing things?
Yeah, and wrote things down before you said them?
Yeah, if we could...
Because that's what I do when I go through it. I'll write it out, and then I don't want it to sound like I'm reading, but I just have to organize my thoughts. And I love it when I hear something that Randy says that's just dumbass thing. I mean, it's not that rare, but and then I can come in and kind of
not that rare.
What the hamper are you it with the.
It's one of my that's favorite the result things. Of not having a filter. Yeah, so I speak for a living, and I have to do like 4, 5, 6, 7, 12 takes when I'm. Editing and doing stuff, but hey,
yeah,
got to do it, man.
Hey, speaking of that, does anybody else secretly wish that this was their job and they could quit their day job, and if they could make money from this, they would, but they know that they can't, and it's not worth it. I'm talking about myself here. I'm just throwing that out there. It's one of those things. This is a lot of fun, but I think we decided a long time ago that we're just never going to take money for it because what's the point, right?
Yeah, we've had a fair amount of people. Offer donations. We've never asked for money. We specifically when we set out, we didn't want a donate button. We didn't want to beg for money, but we've had a number of people offer to make donations, but it's just not been something that we've been interested in. I mean,
it opens up a huge can of worms to me.
Yeah.
If we tried to monetize it, and I don't know. I mean, because you know, the times when there are lulls in this are the times when I'm just not in the mood. I'd rather play Skyrim.
Well, me too, but I'm just saying if there's anybody out there, it's just low six figures is fine. And then we'll get right on a weekly schedule and it'll be, you know, way better than it's ever been.
Bob,
I let go
I let go of that dream when we weren't discovered for doing the Big Love podcast.
Welcome to Unofficial Big Love, the podcast where real Mormons talk about fictional Mormons. How are you, Bob?
Doing great.
Glenn, talk to me, buddy.
I'm right here. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Logan.
You know, I thought for sure that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse were going to listen to that and go, oh, I got to have that guy in my writing team.
Yeah, I was secretly hoping to, but oh well. Just the ex-Mormon crowd is not that big. Come on. Spread the word. You guys have been missionaries before. What's going on here?
We just got to get somebody who knows Aaron Eckhart or Amy Adams, and get them to become fans, and then...
Boom.
Yeah. We're there.
Right. All right, Tom. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I can't tell if the sarcasm button was pushed for you, Glenn. I can't tell.
It's like halfway there.
Halfway there.
Half sarcasm.
I listen to a ton of podcasts, so yeah, I'm constantly thinking, oh, I love this part of it. You know, thinking as an editor, like... this what they did here was just phenomenal, and this storytelling section was absolutely great. And then you start entertaining the thought, like, I think I could do that. I think I could pull that off. And then when you try to do it, you're like, I can't pull this off. Who am I kidding? This is ridiculous. This takes way too long. And it's like, oh, they have producers and editors, and they have, you know, newspaper journalists that go out and collect the stories. I'm like, oh, they have like a whole team. It's not just one guy. Ira Glass isn't running around like a crazy person trying to get all this worked out.
Well, he probably is, but he has, you know, the important part of the middle of the day accessible to him for this, and that's the part that we don't have. So.
Yeah. And I mean that's his career, and I don't think that any of us really compare ourselves to those guys or those other podcasts at all. It's just, you know, this is just a fun thing that started doing a couple of years ago, and we keep doing it. And
it's a lot cheaper than therapy, so
there is that.
This is my therapy, so I don't need any money. I do this for selfish reasons.
So just in case it wasn't clear, make checks payable to Bob Caswell because nobody else is. I'm just kidding. We don't want money.
All right, the last three. I don't know if you guys want to go over this stuff because they're basically the essay stuff where people just entered in thoughts and stuff like that. It was which episode has been your favorite and why, which episode has been your least favorite, why, and what would you do to improve?
I was really surprised. The question, which episode has been your favorite? There were a lot of people who said the Mormon psychic.
Does that make sense?
People come on. Where?
No, but that was also the most hated one.
Yeah, it was the most hated, too.
It's very bipolar, for sure.
It's bimodal. Yeah, it's a bimodal distribution of people's feelings about the Mormon psychic episode, but that one shocked me.
The consistent theme, other than the one weird exception of Bob's mission story.
Weird exception? Come on.
It's weird in a good way for you. It was the only one that had a significant response for their favorite episode that didn't have a single negative comment. But the ones that were our most popular were also our least popular.
That's
I found was really interesting.
The Mormon psychic has as many people who love it as many people who hate it. And I think the same was true, not quite as polarizing, but the Mormon swinger one.
You know, obviously I don't want to say too much about where I was raised.
I think more people liked that than didn't like it. But those were, I think, the two top vote gains. But, you know, like Under the Banner of Heaven was high up there from what I remember. And I think that the Bob mission story one was great. And I remember, Matt, you were planning on making that a series.
Yeah, still am.
So. Oh, okay, cool.
<In the works. laughs>
Look, man, work got very busy over the last 8 months.
Yeah.
Part two of their 6-part series is still in production.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like the Book of Mormon movie.
Yeah, right.
Volume one.
Well, if I remember right from the numbers that Bob would send us about the downloads and the site visits and stuff like that, I think Apostasy is actually in the lead as far as
numbers. Yeah, I think
it's
like numbers. Almost at 4,000 or something. I should pull it up and look, but I think it is the leader.
And just to be clear, when you say 4,000, you're talking 4,000 unique listeners, not 4,000 total downloads. So total downloads, we've got a lot more than that. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I could also share in the aggregate, we're almost at 60,000 downloads.
I mean, does that include Stitcher? That includes iTunes? That includes people who listen through the website? What is that?
You know, it's mostly iTunes, but it does include through the website. I'm not sure about Stitcher. There are a couple of things that could be lost in this tool that we use. I've been meaning to kind of follow up with the community that uses this, but I'm guessing it's like 80 to 90%. So I wouldn't extrapolate too much.
All right, is that enough navel gazing, or are we going to keep at it?
My God.
Okay.
So before we get away from the navel gazing too much, one of the requests, I mean, I think there was one, a criticism on the podcast, is that they're not always able to match the voice to the personality, and then they don't always know the person, you know, behind the person, you know, sort of thing. So I thought maybe we could do a little introduction. I know we've done that once before, but just a little bit of background. And I mean, people especially want to know where we are on the church. Who put Gilderoy Lockhart as their picture up here? Jesse? Jesse Smith?
Yeah.
There's a nice tangent. Yeah, that is pretty distracting, though.
I just looked down at my computer screen, and there's Anna and this goofy smile looking up at me. We just watched that with my kids.
I can't use my real picture. You'd all know who I am.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you guys want to do that or do you not?
Yeah, for my wife's benefit, it's really just Randy and Glenn, or not Glenn, sorry, Randy and Matt that are always like, she thinks you guys are the same person. I'm like, how can you not hear it? Come on.
Because we're both assholes.
I'm the asshole atheist, and here's my loud opinion. Can't you tell from how loud and how much I fucking cuss?
No, but Glenn, at the beginning of the, was it the Manacled Mormon one, you took little clips from each of us and...
Yeah, we've done that.
We've done that a few times. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think it should be too hard to understand. But
okay,
why don't you start us off, Glenn? I mean, last I had heard, Glenn, is you were on break or you were officially inactive. Is that pretty much where you're at now?
I don't know how official it is. I'm unofficially inactive. I mean, people in my ward haven't seen me forever, so I don't go.
But it's still your ward. That's the thing. You still say it that way. Like, I don't even know what my ward is anymore, so...
But you just moved.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love my Sunday sleeping in. It's just, it's awesome. And I just wanted to be able to sleep in.
What if you had church at 1 or 12?
Right? No, that's no good. So here's the problem. 9 o'clock, you can't sleep in. 11 o'clock church fucks up your lunch. 1 o'clock church, the day's over by the time church. I mean, none of the schedules are good. Until they get on a 2-hour schedule and they do it at 10 o'clock, yeah. I'm
forget
totally
about football season.
Right. There's just nothing. There's no reason for me to go. I don't get anything out of it. The nice thing is when I've gone the last few times, it doesn't bother me anymore being there. Right. You know, I'm mildly amused, or I'm playing a game on my phone.
Has anyone on the panel done anything more than sacrament meeting in how long? Let's start there.
I go, this is Jesse. We talk about horrible schedules. Ours actually starts at noon, and then the sacrament is a third hour. So
what?
Yeah. So
what do you start with?
We start with Priesthood school? Relief Society.
Ugh.
So I don't go to priesthood, so I just sit in the foyer, and then for Sunday school, I'll go in with my wife, and then usually it's 2 o'clock and our kids haven't had a nap and they're just starting sacrament meeting and we're gone. You know, it's like there's just no way you can tackle that at 1:45 with kids who've already been in church for 2 hours with no nap. So
yeah,
that's just, it's actually made it really nice this year because I've been going maybe, you know, half of the weeks that will actually make an appearance. But even then it's like, you know, if we're there for an hour or two, that's pretty much it.
So your wife is completely believing you're dealing with a no.
No, she was, maybe like 2 years ago, but since then it's been a lot of changes and it's very much in flux. So there's been a lot of progress on that front, but,
why do you go?
She still likes to go, for now, but she's not ready to kind of pull the plug on that. But there's a lot of weeks that we don't go. There's a lot of weeks that we're out of town or just say, hey, we're not going to go this week, you know, even if we don't have anything else going on. So it's kind of I'd say it's about 50% of the time right now, which I'm okay with for now.
Is that the main reason you go, would you say? Anything left to believe in for you in terms of like core tenets of the church?
No, okay. there hasn't been anything like that for over 4 years for me. I mean, it's been.
Well, but hang on though, because like if you're talking about core tenets of the church, I mean, are you talking about like the uniquely specific Mormon stuff, or do you mean the more bland repentance, forgiveness, kindness, charity? I mean, if those are core tenets of the church, then yeah, obviously, I totally believe in that stuff.
Well, no, but you don't.
Not in any kind of metaphysical way, though.
Yeah. You don't believe in the Mormon flavor of it, where there's a prescriptive way that you check things off a list so that you can get into heaven. Like, there's nobody on this panel believes any of that anymore. And that is a yes.
One does. I was waiting to see if somebody said that they did. Yeah. I was waiting for Tom.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, in terms of my belief, I mean, I've been out for, you know, 4 years that I haven't.
So maybe we should take it from the other side. Like, we've got the raging atheist Randy, but where do other people position themselves on the spectrum?
You don't even need to hear from me, right?
Right. We'll just skip over Randy.
Well, I went to church. I actually did go to church last month, by the way, with my dad when he was visiting.
Wow. So, did it end in a fight or anything, or what happened?
No.
I love my dad.
No, not with your dad. I mean, just like you randomly, like with an Elders Quorum president or something.
You know, because if you just kind of slink in with this old couple and you don't look anyone in the eye and you just sit in the back. I mean, I think I gave some dirty looks to the bishopric. Just to fuck with them. I was bored. It's boring. It's so mind-numbingly boring. And you look around and you see all the dead eyes in sacrament meeting. And you just go, oh, this sucks. It sucks for them. I ache for them. I empathize that they feel like they have to be there. It was so boring. So I had to find things to entertain myself. So I started to stare at the bishop in an angry way just to see if he'd notice me. And it was just entertainment.
You're weird.
Oh, so weird. That does make you a bit of an asshole.
Just for fun, I wonder if we should stack rank ourselves. Like, okay, Randy's the extreme on that side. And
I'm not extreme anything.
I'm trying to make it fun. Come on. Yeah. Play with my stereotype here. And then Glenn's like perfectly in the middle. And then you've got Jesse and Tom battling it out for closest to the believing end. And then
what?
No, I'm just saying that. If you were to make it into a spectrum. Okay. My
see,
experiment.
I would say if it were a spectrum, I'm pretty close there to in terms of any kind of belief. I mean, I'm right there as as far on the extreme of the atheist range.
Yeah, I
as
think,
any of us. I mean,
I think that I mean if you put Randy on the extreme, it might go Jesse, Matt, Bob, Glenn, Tom, maybe. It might go Tom, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Randy, Matt, Jesse, Tom, Bob, Glenn, you think?
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You put me after Tom? I feel so special.
Or Bob, Tom, Glenn. I could go, I don't know about you. I'm not buying you. Wait a minute. I'm not putting Glenn on that side. You're full of it.
It's a very narrow
side. I'm just saying,
Glenn after Jesse.
I'm just saying, compared to the rest of you guys, I think I'm a little more open-minded about the possibilities of things that are out there.
Well, what a lovely word to use for yourself.
I'm open-minded. It's all nuanced.
Yes.
I did say a little.
I'm open-minded to the possibility of things that are out there. I'm just realistic about the probability of things that are likely out there.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the reality of the continuum you've built. No, this is the reality of the continuum that you built. It's personality.
Yeah.
I'm just more bombastic, more caustic, more outspoken. Matt's right there with me. Sorry, Matt. You're right there with me. I mean, I think you called Spencer. I think you said Spencer W. Kimball. I'm glad you're dead.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Did we leave that in?
Yeah, you left it in.
I was in.
Oh boy.
So Matt and I are right there together just because of our personality. The rest of us are pretty much, other than maybe Tom, in the same belief level. It's just a matter of our approach of how we and our personality.
Yeah,
you know, and the more distance I'm getting, the more apathetic I'm getting, I guess, towards it. So maybe the more open-minded I am, I don't know.
So you're like at this stage, Matt. You're like, you know, I guess I feel a little bad that you're dead, Mr. Prophet.
Well,
no, not so much. You're still glad he's dead. Okay,
any more than he did more damage with that stupid book than many people have. But here, my deal. I was in the temple December 2012.
What? This is Matt speaking, right?
Yeah. For a family member's wedding. We sang in church for Christmas, December 2012.
Now remember, temple recommends go 2 years now, so he could have got his recommend in 2010.
Shut up, Randy. And... and the last time we went to church was a family member's homecoming, like two, three months ago. My approach to the church or my belief in it is relatively non-existent, but a lot of it has to do just with, the way that they deal with, child abuse and things like that. And I just have no... Ain't nobody got time for that.
Mm. Yeah, but as far as your belief, I mean, you don't have any belief in the Mormon narrative.
No, that's true.
Yeah, do you feel like it was gradual, or do you feel like it was a switch went off?
I'm going to go with gradual.
Yeah.
For me, it was very much a switch. I've probably told you guys this before, but I got called to be in the Elders Quorum presidency, and then I had some time off during the summer that I could use to research and wanted to really kind of, we were teaching out of the Joseph Smith manual, for that year and, you know, whatever it was, teachings of our time or whatever they call it. And that was when I kind of dove headfirst into the rabbit hole. And it was like 3 days later, it was all over.
Wow.
How about a spectrum based on empathy for believers?
Well, that's hard.
I do have a lot of empathy for believers. Despite what you guys try to paint me into a corner as.
As he stares down an active bishop.
Yeah. Out of boredom.
I was bored.
Very empathetic. Yeah.
Right. Very. You know, this will, I think this is actually a relevant conversation to kind of empathy towards people versus empathy towards the religion. And that's definitely where I fall down at fault, or that camp of really having a strong reaction towards the institution and the organization for so many things, but yet so many people that I respect, love, and associate with on a literally a daily basis are very much apart. So I'm empathetic towards those people so long as it does provide some sort of a benefit to them, but too often I see it as being a negative.
Well, and Matt, you once told me something. It was actually kind of an epiphany to me when you were dealing with the stake president, the bishop personally visiting you, trying to save your soul, was what we always heard in the church. All of us heard in the church, hey, you know what? The church is true. The church is perfect, but the people aren't perfect. And the people, you know, you can't judge the church by the people. And then you flipped it on its head to the bishop and the stake president. And it was like just this brilliant line that you came up with. You said, you know what? The people are true. The church isn't. And that's the way I look at it, because I feel the same way. There's so many people I love and respect that are just wonderful people in their daily lives that I interact with. But the institution does nothing but protect itself when faced with, you know, any kind of conflict. So that's how I thought that was just one of the best statements I've heard in a long time.
You know what, though? I just have to say that I always feel conflicted about this. I feel like I'm a hypocrite, because when I make fun of things in the church that oftentimes a majority of people I know with names and faces really believe in, like, I always make fun of things in the aggregate thinking it's not a big deal. And then, you know, I have all these Mormon Facebook friends, and I could say something similar to how I respect them for who they are, and that this is where a lot of them were born in the church. This is how they've come to make sense of the world around them, and it's hard to get unplugged, blah, blah, blah. And I get all that, but I'm still, like, trying to figure out how my two identities can coexist, because they haven't really butted heads yet. But I podcast on here and say all sorts of stuff that I would never say to anyone's face directly, but yet I say it to their face indirectly on a podcast. So I'm still, like, not sure what to think about that. Does anybody else have that conflict?
Oh, yeah, it's totally like that for me. I mean, with my alter ego here, even though it's really not my alter ego, I mean, it's really my own. I never play a character. I mean, it's my own feelings, but...
Are you saying this is your true Kumari?
Yes, this is the blue light, yes.
Okay.
No, but like being on here, you know, pseudonymously, then I'm able to just kind of not really care, you know.
But the reason why you can't say the stuff to these people's faces isn't because of a flaw within themselves. It's because of the inculcation and the fear tactics that the institution instills in them from birth. So these are good people, but they've been made to fear us.
They've been made to fear, but people still make the decision. I mean, there's people that don't fall into that.
Denying that. That's true.
Well, and even then, though, Randy, like, we've all seen, have you guys all seen the movie Hot Fuzz, where there's the city that's in cahoots, and they're all, like, murdering people for the greater good, and, you know...
The greater good.
The greater good, and they chant and stuff.
Yarp.
The reason I bring that up is because nobody likes to be characterized as somebody who's plugged in and in the matrix, and, you know, it's not their fault. They're not living life according to their own will, even though, you know, that's ironically one of the main tenets of Mormonism is free will. And we all know that. But, like, if anybody actually listened to what you were saying, they would take a ton of offense at it.
Yeah, the ironic thing in the Mormon church is that free will means to surrender your will.
Right.
You say that like profound, Randy, but I don't think it is.
Then tell me how it's not, asshole.
Because you're still, I mean, it is free will for you to surrender your free will, but you're not really surrendering your free will. You never lose that. You could choose any time.
No, you can't.
Oh, really? Did you?
You cannot.
Did you?
Yeah, it was like excruciating and life changing and potentially marriage threatening. You know, those, don't you think those underlying fears act on people's quote unquote free will?
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't, church, it doesn't rob them of free will. It's just there's a lot of pressure. There's pressure to act in certain ways. Absolutely.
What is the euphemism of the church for exercising your agency? It means obedience. Obedience, obedience. And yes, you can overcome that. Yes, you can separate yourself from the Branch Davidians, but it ain't easy.
Well, I never got to hear where Bob was. Nobody else. I mean, I guess I've never really understood where Bob stands. I mean, as far as the mission goes, he talked about, you know, being a believer and stuff like that. But there's like this big question mark between his mission and when he gets married.
Oh, yeah. I guess from that point of view, yeah, that wasn't covered in that episode. So, I mean, I left the church in 2007, and I got off my
like
mission.
Officially?
No, I haven't resigned. Just left as in, like, I literally haven't been even to a sacrament meeting, actually, since. I went for fun once. The last time was in 2008 or 9. So it has been, like, 5 or 6 years. So I don't even have the need or commitment or any of these other reasons that are like what you guys seem to have, even though you're not no longer believing. So I haven't been for 5 or 6 years at all.
Well, were you married? Was your wife?
Yeah. So we got married in the temple. We got married in 2002. And I mean, that's still a big part of my shared history with her is if it weren't for the church, that's, you know, how we met on my mission. But then she came to BYU, which is another church institution that enabled us to, you know, see each other again in a way. And since then, we were active for, you know, 3 or 4 years after we got married. And then starting in 2004 or 5, depending on how you look at it, I gradually got into the stages of leaving Mormonism, like, oh, I'm going to entertain that not all Democrats are weirdos. You know, that's like the very first stage when you're totally entrenched on the other side. And then it's like, oh, maybe the word of wisdom doesn't include Coke and certain types of, you know, how there's all those little things and you think you're progressive. And then it was in 2006 and 7 when I started investigating history and it all fell apart with Historicity of the Book of Mormon and a lot of that stuff.
So it was a slippery slope, huh? One thing led to another and bam.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And the good news for me is I didn't have to deal with all of the what it sounds like pretty much shit for everyone else of being out of sync with my wife. Like there was only like a 1 or 2 month period where we weren't necessarily on the same plane, and it still even then wasn't as dramatic as it normally is with other people. But we sort of drifted out together because we always talk about this stuff like all the time because I love talking about this kind of stuff. And so now I'm in that agnostically atheist or, you know, I don't know which one is the adjective and which one is the noun. I'm an atheist that's agnostic or an agnostic that's an atheist, meaning that there is a chance, but not much of one. So I'm leaning atheist, but mostly atheist, but somewhat agnostic and somewhat apathetic, really, because I don't know that it matters anymore.
Just for the record, atheism means without belief in a personal God, and agnostic means without knowledge.
So are they mutually exclusive? What do you want to say?
No, they're saying they're two different claims. One is saying I don't have belief. Neither is a positive claim. They're both without. So
right.
You can be an agnostic atheist. You could be an agnostic theist. You can be an anti-theist, which means you are making a positive claim that there is no God. So
agnostic atheist sounds good for me. I like tenets of both of those definitions, I guess. And it's
you're without belief, see. And you acknowledge that it's not a knowable proposition at this time.
Right.
Tom, there's one last thing. Tom, are you dealing with the most believing wife? It sounds like she's softened a bit.
Yeah, my wife softened quite a bit. I mean, I, you know, just listening to Jesse share his side, it sounds like our marriage is kind of parallel a little bit. I mean, my wife goes through phases where she kind of holds back and then kind of falls for it. She's on that teeter-totter. I was on the teeter-totter for, 3 years, where you start to swing heavy one way or the other. You're really contemplating, you know, do I really want to believe this? And I'm going to firmly commit. All right, I really got to do this. And then you start to fall a little bit, and then you start to fall a little more. And then something usually catches you, like, I got to go back. That's kind of where she's at.
Is that why you think – do you think that's why you seem to be the most sensitive of us on temple topics and those types of things?
I think that's partly – I mean, geez, aside from you guys and a few others, my Mormon roots are really, really deep, man. So there's also – I am very sympathetic with how people think and reflect on, like, some temple stuff. I mean – It actually does ping me with a great deal of guilt, like with the temple garments being talked about and the tokens and the symbols and all that stuff, just because, hell, I had 30 plus years thinking of that, like, highly, highly sacred, not even mentioning. In fact, I was at a ex-Mormon meeting a couple months ago, and everybody just started talking about their temple names, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
Do what I do. Just go with Voltron.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know what that means. If it just means that I'm still trying to rewire part of my psychology,
and you know, if you just tell people your birthday, there's a website people can go to find out what your temple name is.
Is that true?
Yes, they have only one name for every day of the month.
Hmm. Find out which one Voltron is.
find out which one Jesse is. I mean,
am I the only one that's still like that? I know most Jesse. Of you guys are way, way beyond all that, you know, the sensitivity. Or
I'm not completely away from that yet.
Yeah, me too.
There's times where I don't really like it, and then there's other times where I'll join in.
I think part of it is because I feel so comfortable with in discussions with, like, you guys. But then as soon as I take the headphones off or whatever, and then I'm constantly walking that tightrope, like, oh, yeah, I got to remember to not say things that cross the line, and I got to be sensitive, and I got to be, you know, making sure that I don't say anything that's offensive. Because we had our home teachers over a few weeks ago, and I got a little comfortable with them, and I actually said something that was crossing that line, and I was like, oh, shit.
So this is your therapy.
Yeah, it's totally my therapy. This without this, yeah, I could be in a straitjacket in a padded room somewhere.
Well, I think that about does it for our navel gazing, at least for now. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. And as you can tell, we really enjoy receiving your feedback. So you can provide feedback to us either at our Facebook page or at our website, infantsonthrones.com, or by leaving us great reviews on iTunes. That's my personal favorite. But anyway, there you go. Anyone for the closing prayer?